again seeking interest in your prayers this evening. We want to tonight take a glimpse into eternity. Go with me to chapter 20 of Revelation. I'm going to begin reading at verse 10. I want to spend just a few minutes taking a glimpse into hell, and then spend most of our time in Revelation 22 taking a glimpse into heaven. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face who faced the earth, and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friends, tonight, hell is a real place. We have our Jehovah's friends and our Kingdom Hall people who want to say that God is too loving to send anybody to hell. Tonight, my friends, we choose to go there by not answering the call to the way of God. A favorite argument they use is against the concept of literal fire and darkness can't exist together. With God, all things are possible. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. I'm going to notice a few verses in Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, chapter 8, verse 12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In verses 22 to chapter 22, verse 13. Jumping through a few verses here in Matthew. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of torment, a place that is not very pleasant to be. Yes, you will have those on our side today who say they'll have plenty of friends there. And a man tell me that one time, I'm afraid it's not going to be so. Because the Bible calls it a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. My friends, tonight, hell is a place of unquenchable fire. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Again, some few verses out of Matthew. Chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It will be an unquenchable fire in hell. Matthew 13 and verse 41 to 42, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Scripture after scripture tonight talks about the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. a horrible place to be. God help us tonight to be ready for that time that we have made our calling and election sure, that we don't have to face hell. Like all other points of doctrine, we must carefully analyze every scripture. But time and time again, it's a place of torment. It's a place of unquenchable fire. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand in Matthew 25, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden and they were chased from the garden, since then we have all been born with that sinful nature. Not one of us is able to save ourselves, but redemption through Christ. And he cried and said, he tells us the rich man in hell made the following comment. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, I have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented. Going to Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. More scriptures tonight about hell than what we can look at. But I trust there is a lot of scriptures about heaven and a lot more as well. Hell is a place of misery tonight. It is a real place. It's a place of pain. Revelation 14, 10 and 11, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Hell was created for all eternity. The day we die, the day our eternal destiny is set, there's no praying out of purgatory or anything like that. We will be forever in hell tonight if we are not prepared for that time. Daniel 12, 1 and 2 says, And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting damnation. Do we have a loving God? Yes, we have a loving God tonight. The fact that Jesus didn't come yet is the fact that he is extending mercy yet for each and every one to have that opportunity. In Jude 1, 6 and 7, and the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I'd like to simply share with you tonight the occupants of hell. We talked about some of them in Revelation 20:10. We have Satan as one of the occupants of hell. The Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2:8 as one of the occupants. The false prophets in Revelation 19:20. The fallen angels in 2 Peter 2:4. Judas Iscariot in Acts 1:25. And 100% of those who never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God didn't prepare hell for you and I. It's His will that all would be saved. But those who refuse to be saved will experience hell. Revelation 21, verse 8, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." God help us to be ready for that time. Hell is a terrible place. A place where you and I don't want to go. I want to move in now to Revelation chapter 22. And we just want to get a glimpse of heaven. There's a lot of scriptures about heaven. But there's a lot of scriptures about hell. We didn't turn to near all of them. But I'd like to look at the interior of this new Jerusalem tonight. The place where you and I want to be with God forever. A river flowing. Revelation 22 verse 1. I'm going to read all of the verses, but I'll start here at verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and in either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were of the healing of nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Jumping over to verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life." Here in heaven is the tree of life. A river flowing from the throne of God. And just exactly what that river will be like, we know enough that we cannot comprehend in our own minds what it will be like. It'll be a pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal. God's provisions in the New Jerusalem is described with pure, absolutely unpolluted water. Its waters are literal waters, I believe, of a nature and quality answering to that the golden city in which they belong. Man on earth never knew such purity as heaven will be like. We're told enough about heaven that it's beyond our comprehension. It's no wonder where John the Revelator said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Lord, why don't you come? It comes from the throne of God and the Lamb. The river of provision comes right from God's throne because it comes from God himself. It cannot be anything other than pure and abundant. Ezekiel 47 talks about a glorious river. Revelation 22 verse 2 in this chapter. The tree of life in the middle of its street. The tree of life. The Bible begins with the tree of life in Genesis and ends with the tree of life in heaven. Seeing the tree of life again points to the restoration of all things. Now at last, almost at the end of the great drama of the Bible, man may return and enjoy the blessings which time had begun with. Heaven in our own minds is uncomprehendable, but we know that it's worth it all, at any cost, to be faithful to the end. It says each tree yielding fruit. Maybe sometimes people wonder. You ever wonder whether we'll eat in heaven? Talks about fruit. The best answer that I can give is that if we eat in heaven, it won't be eating like we do here on earth because we have to have it, but because we want it. Like the golden table of showbread, which ever stood in the ancient tabernacle, the temple for the priests to eat. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Are these pictures of heaven literal or are they symbolic? It may be that we will not understand all of that on this side of heaven. But even though this great chapter of the Bible tells us of heaven, we should think deeply about all what it says and just what it may mean. Revelation chapter 22, you go to verses 3 to 5 there, what it will be like and what the saints will do. It'll be a time of rejoicing. It'll be a time of worshiping our great Maker, worshiping God Himself. It says there shall be no night there. Heaven will be a place where the darkness of this age will be forever gone. The light is not artificial. The current won't go off and make it black. But the light will be there forever. Revelation 22 and verses 6 and 7, the angel and Jesus add words of verification. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." Then he says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." In the end of that chapter, in verse 20, he says, "Surely I come quickly." And that's where John the Revelator says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." As you look heavenward tonight, are you saying in your heart, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, is all well with you"? Someday, my friend, tonight, it will be reality. Someday Jesus is coming. Someday it will be reality. It might be tonight and it might be tomorrow. He who testifies to these things say, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Surely I am coming quickly to the very end. The book of Revelation emphasizes the readiness and the watchfulness. Be ready, lest we miss our opportunity. But friends, tonight we can make our calling and election sure. Tonight Jesus wants you to know whether you are his child or not. We talked about assurance of salvation another evening in a pre-sermon talk. The book of Revelation concerns many prophetic events. And I realize tonight we don't all agree on eschatology. But the Bible does give us a lot of things about the future. While we do not all see it the same, the most important question is, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet Jesus tonight? If he should come tonight. He closes the book. This book closes tonight with John saying, even so, with the longing that John has for heaven. Tonight, do you have a longing for heaven? Or do you want to get a certain amount of things done on this old earth yet? Do you have a longing for heaven? The very close of this book is the confession that the answers to the problems of life do not lie in man's ability to create a better world, but in the return of the one whose sovereign power controls the course of human affairs. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight be with you all. Amen, he says. Go with me to a few other scriptures here. First Corinthians 16, verse 23. First Corinthians 16, 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then also in 2 Corinthians 13, 14. First Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 28. 'The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. By the grace of God tonight, we can be found faithful. We can be found ready to meet our Maker. As we look more about heaven tonight, heaven is not a place of leisure time. We'll be busy praising God, sitting around His throne. We will see our Savior face to face. Heaven will be a place where God's people see His face, where God's people will have a place to see His face to face, fellowship with God. What a wonderful time that will be tonight if we are ready to meet God. The throne of God and the Lamb. Henceforth, eternal praises to His name. We will sing and never grow tired. We will sing and never grow tired to think of looking into the face of our Redeemer. That should be our greatest longing tonight, to see our Savior face to face. His name shall be in our foreheads. Heaven will be a place where God's people will forever be identified with their God, and there will never be any doubt that we belong to Him. That's heaven. And I believe tonight that we will also know those who have gone on before. Those who are there. But you know, friends, tonight, in order to go to this place, you must cast away the garments of sin. Jesus wants us to cast away the garments of sin. Jesus passing through Jericho for his last time as he was on his way to the cross. As he was on his way to Jerusalem to the cross, a blind man received his sight. Bartimaeus, a beggar, a picture of a lost sinner, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, blind spiritually, unable to save himself. You and I were unable to save ourselves, but Jesus paid the price. He paid the price so that you and I can obtain eternity, so that you and I can obtain entrance into heaven. And He is still patiently calling sinners today. That invitation is still going out. There's going to be a great wedding. There's going to be a great marriage supper of the Lamb. Are we ready for that time when the rapture takes place and the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place? Are you ready for that time? He's still calling today, where He says in Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He wants each of you tonight to find that rest that He is offering to all. He gave His life on the cross. Are you ready to cast away your garment of sin tonight? I believe tonight, yes, there is a price to pay to cast away that garment of sin. But we have a new garment to put on, the wedding garment, to be prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. What Jesus did for Bartimaeus, he wants to do for you tonight. If you are not ready to meet him, he is calling for you today. Come without delay. Will that be you tonight as we sing an invitation hymn? Maybe you haven't never accepted the Lord in your life. Will you answer that call tonight? Maybe you've been in the church, but there's sin in your life. I realize we could have talked about a lot more about heaven in that chapter 22. We could be here for another 30 minutes, taking that chapter all apart. But it's a place where I think everyone would desire to be tonight. If I would ask for a raise of hands, how many want to be in heaven? I think I would see all the hands go up. But he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. He wants us to live for him. What will the invitation be?